Take your Bibles, if you will, this morning, and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. We're going to take a break from Samson. We'll return to our study of Samson tonight. But we're going to look at a whole class of people that are far stronger than Samson, and that's our grandparents. As we're thinking about grandparents this morning, let me give you just a little bit of history about this. In 1956, a lady by the name of Marion McQuaid launched an initiative to get a national day of recognition for grandparents. She wanted to train up the youth to understand how vitally important that grandparents are. In fact, she wanted to try to get the youth to adopt a grandparent. So if you didn't have a grandparent or your grandparent wasn't close by, adopt somebody that could be a grandparent. In 1969, 9-year-old Russell Caper sent President Nixon a letter suggesting that they would have such a day. On June the 12th, 1969, Russell received this letter from Rosemary Woods, the personal secretary to the president. And it says, "Dear Russell, thank you for your letter to President Nixon. Your suggestion regarding a grandparents' day is appreciated. But the president ordinarily issues proclamations designating periods of special observance only when a congressional resolution authorizes him to do so. With best wishes, blah, blah, blah." So little Russell didn't get his wish. But in 1977, there was a senator who, with the help of other senators, began to introduce a joint resolution to the Senate requesting the president to issue annually a proclamation designating the first Sunday of September after Labor Day of each year as National Grandparents Day. Congress passed the legislation proclaiming the first Sunday after Labor Day as National Grandparents Day. And on August the 3rd, 1978, President Jimmy Carter signed the proclamation, and the day was finally celebrated the following year. By the way, do you realize that Grandparents' Day is only 6 years younger than Father's Day? Father's Day did not become official until 1972. So that kind of surprised me, because you think Mother's Day, of course, moms, you got celebrated long before fathers were recognized. And you had your day, and somebody wanted to make sure that the guys got their day. And now here we go for grandparents. Some may shrug Grandparents' Day off as just another Hallmark holiday and think it's not really that important. However, the numbers, the statistics would tell us otherwise. There are more than 74 million grandparents residing in the United States of America. 23.7% of grandparents take care of children under the age of five. 53% of grandparents take care of their grandchildren so that their parents can work. And 22% of grandparents take care of their grandchildren just to pass on family values. 60% of grandparents work part-time or full-time. How many of our grandparents are still working? Look at that. All right. I want us this morning to look into the Scriptures, and I want us to see the biblical role that grandparents play. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, look at verse 28. The Bible says here, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy father set." Let's go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. Jeremiah, chapter 6, and look at verse 16. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." The first point I want us to notice this morning is that grandparents provide structure and stability. Grandparents provide structure and stability. I think our courthouse downtown is an awesome structure. Isn't that a beautiful building? Some facts on our courthouse. The first foundation stone for the courthouse was laid at 1:40 p.m. on October the 1st, 1888. The first brick was laid at 1:27 p.m. on October the 22nd, 1888. And the courthouse officials first began using their rooms in July of 1891. Through the years, that facility, that building has received all sorts of renovations and things to keep it up and looking nice as it is now. An elevator was installed in 1961. Through the years, they have added modern gadgetry. I mean, you can go into this 1800s building and see computers and the internet's in use and all those kinds of things. So you have the modern things that are inside of this old building. But go behind the scenes, and there is an amazing view that most people will never get to see. The fire department has been, I don't know how many years ago, that we got to go into that building and got to tour and go up into, I don't even know what they call it, but that first platform area that's just under the clocks before seeing all the works of the clocks. And when you go through this little access door and you see what's in there, I'll be honest, I only stuck my head in. I'm going up that thing. That scared me to death, just looking at it. If you can think about some archaic movie that goes into these buildings and you just kind of look down and it's like there ain't nothing. And you look at these steps and you think, I ain't getting on that thing. I don't care if you put 20 people on there. If I'm number 21, it's going down. I just know it. No way. But these guys, they go all up and down this thing like nobody's business. I mean, it is gorgeous to look inside that. You see these native timbers, and you see the woodwork that would have been original back to when this thing was built. And that for over 130 years, this building has stood strong. This building has weathered the blistering heat, and has withstood the coldest, harshest of winters. It's held up under torrential downpours, and it's held up under the snow flying and the ice developing. This is a place that has handled the summer and the winter. It's handled everything, and yet that building has remained strong. When I think about grandparents, that's what I think grandparents are. They are these individuals that have been tested by time, and they are the individuals that provide the structure and the stability, not just for your individual home, but they provide the structure and the stability for a church. They provide the structure and stability for a nation. We need that nation of solid grandparents. They are vitally important. Oftentimes, the elders are accused of being set in their ways. They're old fuddy-duddies. They're dinosaurs. They're old-fashioned. They don't understand. In some ways, that's true. But all those labels are some very unkind ways of saying that those elders are stable. Very unkind labels to put on the most stable individuals of our culture. Too often, the younger are flying by the seat of their pants looking for the next great thing. And they've got the attention span of a gnat. And you need these grandparents, these great-grandparents, these great-great-grandparents. You need the structural stability that they bring. And to each of our grandparents that are here, that is a wonderful thing that you bring to our church family. A good housekeeping article. No, I don't make a habit of reading good housekeeping. But I ran across this article. It says that there is a frightening trend that is developing. The boomer and the Gen X grandparents see their generation as adaptable and open to changing times. 68% of today's grandparents consider themselves cooler than their grandparents. Let me tell you something. The word cool is just one letter off from fool. Grandparents, we don't need you to be cool. What we need you to be is stable. What we need, those verses that we just read, calling for the old paths. Where are the old paths coming from? Coming from you grandparents and you great-grandparents. The old ways, that's where they come from. And the desire for them, we need them. Why? Because they're stable. It's not chasing fads. You know, that's what a fad is. It's the latest, coolest thing that's out there. Oh, well, we can't do this anymore. We got to go find the next coolest thing. So we'll chase it even into another church, into another marriage, into another job. We're always looking for the coolest thing. All of a sudden, you find out the grass isn't greener on the other side. We need something cooler than this. So here we go. Let's just keep chasing it all over the place. And yet you look at the stability of the grandparents. You know, they're too tired to chase cool. I mean, they're not interested in being cool. What they're interested in is finding what works and sticking with it. And you know what, grandparents? That's what you bring to the table. You bring that structural stability. To accomplish this, grandparents, you need to be actively teaching, actively training a younger generation. Go with me to Psalm chapter 71. Psalm chapter 71, grandparents, you need to be teaching the things that are structurally sound, that make good sense, that are the ancient landmarks, that are the immovable boundaries. You need to be teaching this stuff. In Psalm 71 in verse 9, the psalmist says, "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." Jump down to verse 17. "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed." How many of you fall in that category? Okay. "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." Do you see how desperately you're needed? The psalmist says, I don't want to shrivel up in old age and not be good for anything. I want to teach a younger generation the old paths, the old ways. I had shared with you that when we had went to Shipsy on vacation, we had saw a couple of groups that just blessed our socks off. And one of them, it was the Inspirations, right? Am I remembering that right? And the Legacy Continues is what the end of the group name is. And as these, that was the group with the young guys, right? Okay. They come out with these young kids, and I mean kids. You know you're getting older when you look at everybody and go, they're just kids. And these young kids come out on stage. They are dressed appropriately. They don't look like a bunch of wannabe rock stars. They are dressed decently. They've got normal haircuts, nothing funky weird going on. And they come out and they started singing, and their music was good. Oh, was it good. And one of the things that they said was, "We want to make sure that the legacy continues of good gospel music." And they're doing a lot of the old Stamps Baxter quartet music and things like that. Their pianist tore the piano apart. And I'm thinking, what a joy to see these young men with such a heart to continue in the old ways of good music. That's not going on much these days, is it? It is hard to get your hands on good gospel music. And when people call it good gospel music, you define that. You know, you want to know what they mean, because a lot of times you listen to it and it's like, number one, it's not gospel. I'm not real sure it's music. I'm not real sure what that mess is. Grandparents, be the break. Ride the break. We've got a world. Uncle Marv said this when he came in. He didn't know what I was preaching on this morning. He said, this world is spinning out of control. It is. Grandparents, get on the brake. You got to ride that brake. Oh, no, we need to be progressive. We need to be this. That's the talk of a liberal. Knock it off. You need to ride the brake because the world is spinning out of control. Amen. And you are the stability. You're the stability that's needed. Let's notice something else. Go to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. The second thing that is valuable about our grandparents is that you provide a rich spiritual legacy. Obviously, you can't say this to the world as a whole of grandparents, but since we're in church, I assume that I'm talking to Christian grandparents. Doesn't mean everybody's saved, but I'm making the assumption that the vast majority of you are saved this morning and you know Christ as Savior. Grandparents provide a rich spiritual heritage. I'm not saying that you're perfect, but your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren ought to be able in time to reflect back on the memory of you and to remember the most important thing of your life was that you walked with the Lord. In the book of Exodus chapter 3, God has called Moses, and he reminded him of a legacy begun nearly 500 years earlier. So if you start calculating that, that would be kind of like great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids that we're talking about here and grandparents. So in Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Look in verses 15 and 16. God said moreover unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and that which I is done to you in Egypt. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somewhere down the road your life is remembered like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's, and simply the God of? There's a lot of things you could have remembered Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for, especially Jacob, and most of them things weren't good. He is a deceiver. He gets deceived. He's in all sorts of messes all the time. And yet, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That is the legacy that followed them so that the Jews to this day refer to the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Neil Downey with Campus Crusade, now called CRU, tells about the spiritual legacy he found in his family. As he had went back home and he started exploring through history books and old Bibles and things like that, he found some interesting history about his family. He writes, My great-grandparents founded a Presbyterian congregation in rural Manitoba. Another set of great-grandparents had family devotions every night, shaping the spiritual life of my grandmother and her sisters. One great-grandfather was born into an aristocratic family but was disowned for marrying a commoner and moved to Canada penniless. His youngest son was a devout follower of Jesus and spoke at my wedding reception. His wife continues to encourage and generously support our ministry with CRU. My great-great-uncle attended Moravian College in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. He became a pastor and along with his brother and their wives, was a missionary to the Yupik people of Bethel, Alaska. His sister put her kids to bed and soothed them to sleep by playing hymns on the organ every night. She was married to my great-grandfather, an alcoholic, who would go on two-day benders. His son, my grandpa Doug, would have to go to the bar and drag him back home. This caused my grandpa to warn about the dangers of alcohol and the importance of being a loving, responsible family man. My great-great-aunt Agnes was a devout Christian and a gifted poet. Do you want your family and generations to come to remember that you were a great businessman, that you were a great investor, that you knew how to put together a great portfolio, that you took great exotic vacations, that you had beautiful homes, that you drove nice cars? Is that the legacy that you want remembered about you? Or do you want remembered a spiritual legacy? A spiritual legacy that says this individual gave their life to Christ. They gave their life's work to Christ. They lived for Him, not just in front of others in church, but they lived for Him in the home. What kind of a legacy do you want to leave behind and live today? A spiritual legacy means a whole lot more. And it certainly means a whole lot more, especially when the time comes that you die. Assuming that I'm the individual that is presiding over your funeral someday, please give me something to work with. I have done funerals before, and I'm not talking church family, but I've done funerals before. And I'm just struggling, scratching my head, trying to figure out what do I say. Especially when you've got a family, say, oh, that my great uncle, whatever, what a good Christian man he was. He never went to church, but oh, he was a good Christian man. He never talked about the Lord, but he was a good Christian man. I'm thinking, okay, what do I do with this? And yet there are funerals that I have done that are an absolute piece of cake, where the life of the deceased wrote the funeral message. That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm begging for. But that's what your family needs. Because on the day that you die, all your money, all your stuff, all your accomplishment, all your degrees, all the places you've been, doesn't matter a lick. What matters is to know that this individual is home with the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are in heaven, and not just because they said, oh yeah, I'm saved, and you scratched your head wondering if it was true, but because their profession of faith was supported, it was backed up by a life, a legacy, a spiritual legacy. Through the years, as I said, doing these funerals, that is so hard to communicate to those families where there isn't a spiritual legacy. How do you get that kind of a legacy? Well, let's go back to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus, chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, the first 8 verses, it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Grandparents, be an example. Be an example. You want to leave a spiritual heritage? It starts now while you're living. Because before you can leave a spiritual heritage, you've got to live a spiritual heritage. And the way to live it is to simply be that good example. Statistics, unfortunately, are showing that many grandparents today are not living that example. Do you realize the divorce rate by percentage is higher among grandparent-aged people than it is in the public as a whole? 23% have remarried once, just under 10% have remarried 3 times or more. The number of seniors involved in illicit hookups is on the rise, and so are STDs among the seniors. It's like, what? Get this one. Pot smoking among grandparents has skyrocketed. We got a bunch of token grandmas and grandpas. It's like, now that's not going to leave behind much of a legacy, is it? And I realize, boy, I'm sure hoping, that this crowd is exempt from those statistics. But as a whole, nationwide, this is the legacy that's being left. And it's like, that's crazy. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Christ has changed you, you have the ability to leave a spiritual legacy that's different and one that will be remembered for many years to come. The final thing this morning, go back to the book of Proverbs. The final passages of Scripture we're going to look at are going to be in Proverbs and Psalms. So you can't get too lost on those. But Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 22, the final point this morning is that grandparents provide an amazing inheritance. And right now, some of you just reached for your wallet, didn't you? You know, I knew it. I knew it was going to come to that. Well, in Proverbs 13, verse 22, the Scripture says, "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children," that's grandkids, "and the wealth of a sinner is laid up for the just." When we think about an inheritance, we are tempted to think about land or property. We're tempted to think about possessions and money. We are tempted to think about, for the Jewish people, they left livestock, they left wells, they left vineyards. That was all part of the inheritance. So our tendency is to tend to think about those things. When in the Jewish culture, along with the riches of the inheritance, also came the responsibility of the inheritance. And the one in the family who received the double portion is now the head of the family. So great responsibility was passed on to those that received an inheritance. Unfortunately, today, a lot of inheritance is left to those who are not responsible but are irresponsible. And all, you know, they come out of the woodwork. You die, and you may have had a will, but you're going to find out there's a whole lot more family members than was that. Well, you're not going to find this out, but those that are living are going to find out there's an awful lot of family members that are like this. So how about leaving something that they can't squabble over? How about leaving something that doesn't have to get divided 15 sundry different ways? How about leaving an inheritance of memories? Go with me to the book of Psalm, chapter 48. And the things that we look at here as we close out this morning, these are a lot more important, a lot more valuable than the stuff, than money. In Psalm chapter 78, I want to look at verse 4. Psalm 78, verse 4. The psalmist says this: "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." As a typical grandparent, you tell stories from the past, right? Grandma, grandpa, tell us a story. And so you try to think of something that you haven't told them before, or you've told it to them umpteen times. They say, "You've told us that before." "I have." So you try to find something to tell your grandkids, the stories from the past. And that's all great. But how much better is it that you tell spiritual stories? How much better is it that the stories be about how God has seen you through your life since the time you were saved, and how He has grown you, how He has matured you, how He has answered prayer, all these different things. Go back to Psalm 37. Look at verse 25. You say, "Well, how would I do this?" In Psalm 37, in verse 25, the psalmist starts out by saying, "I have been young and now I am old." How many of you did I just describe in that verse? Okay. "Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Grandparents, how has that verse been true in your life? How has God proven himself faithful? That verse is not just something written on a page. It is a passage of scripture to be lived out, and it is a truth. How has it been true in your life? Oh, well, God did this, God did this, God did this, God did this. Tell the stories. Who cares about the fish that you caught, and then the story is the fish that you caught, and then the story is the fish that you caught, and next thing you know, you had a fish this big. Who cares? Tell the stories about what Jesus has done. Talk about what the Lord's done in your life. Make those memories spiritually real, because the younger generation needs to see the faith in action. They need to see it in action. They need to know that this works. This really works. Knowing Christ as Savior, relying on Christ for everything, going to God in prayer, that really works. Who'd have thunk it? Grandparents, you thunked it and you lived it. Tell the stories. Go to Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90. Now, in Psalm chapter 90 and verse 1, I just want us to point out something here. How many of you in your Bible, it says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God, or may just say a prayer of Moses or something, but you've got that heading to verse 1. You got that? Okay. I point that out because I want us to notice that Psalm chapter 90 is a prayer. And in verses 9 and 10, part of that prayer was, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, or 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That's a prayer. Grandparents, the second inheritance you leave behind is that of being a prayer warrior. Being a prayer warrior. As you get older, you know there's things that you can't do anymore. And you say, huh, I guess I'm washed up. I'm no good to anybody. I wonder how many grandparents have thought that. I'm no good to anybody. Listen, if you was no good, God would have taken you home. You're still here because you are good. I don't mean you're good. I mean, you're good for something. And God knows what that something is. And every grandparent, great-grandparent, great-great-grandparent, no matter how decrepit the body may be, you can still pray. And you can go before the throne of God. You can be on your face before God praying, begging God to do what you cannot do. By the way, grandparents, you couldn't do it back when you were in your youth. It just took you all these years to realize that you couldn't do it because you were just as stubborn and thick-headed as your kids are now and your grandkids. Amen? And some of you aren't being real honest this morning. It took you years of growing up in the Lord for the Lord to mellow you out and for the Lord to get you to a point where you said, Lord, there's nothing else I can do but trust you. And the Lord says, boy, I sure wish you would have said that when you was 20. Oh, but still had strength. You had the way to figure everything out. You could do it. And now you can't. And so now you go to God in prayer. It's where we should have been to begin with. I remember seeing Grandma in her chair. She always wore these hideously ugly dresses all the time. I don't know where she got those things. I don't know if they were old curtains that she'd made into a dress. I don't know. But they were just ugly. I'll apologize to her someday. But I can still picture her sitting in her rocking chair and her Bible sitting in her lap, and her skirt was the table for that. And she had been doing her devotions. Grandma had been praying. And we'd always find her the same way. She'd fell asleep doing her devotions, talking to the Lord. I remember seeing my dad praying, either in his chair or seeing him coming in, trying to find him, couldn't find him. And he had just had a carpet square. And he would get down on his knees behind some of the woodworking equipment. And I didn't know he was back there. And after I had frantically searched all over the place looking for him, couldn't find him, finally I just busted into the shop and I'm, "Dad!" And I'd see a hand come up, pulling himself up off the machine, or pulling himself up off the concrete with the machine. He says, "What? Where have you been?" I said, "I've been looking for you." "I've been right here." I said, "What are you doing?" "Just praying." "Oh, sorry." You know, kind of walk away. That is the greatest inheritance a person can have. Greatest inheritance. There's one more. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 15. We'll close out with this one. Too often, the older one gets, the grumpier they get. Right? I know none of you here, but you know them like that. The old curmudgeons. But one of the greatest memories and inheritance that you can possibly leave is in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13. "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." Grandparents, leave behind an inheritance of your laughter, of your joy. Leave that behind so that others will remember that you definitely grew sweeter as the years went by. Leave that for somebody to remember. A little boy surprised his grandma one morning, and he brought her a cup of coffee. He made it himself, and oh, he was just as proud as he could be of that cup of coffee. And grandma thanked him for it. She starts drinking it. It was the worst cup of coffee she'd ever tasted in her life. But grandma drank it anyways, you know, didn't want to hurt his feelings. And grandma drank that horrible cup of coffee. He's just watching her, you know, just beaming. "How was it, grandma?" And she gets to the bottom of the cup, and there's, remember them little green army soldiers? There's three little green army soldiers in the bottom of the cup. And she says, "Honey, why are there little green army men in my cup?" "Well, grandma, you know the commercial, don't you? The best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup." Grandparents, you are a gift to your family. You are loved and appreciated. We hope that you feel that today. You are the structural support. Don't bend. You have a legacy to leave. Make it a good one. You have an inheritance to bequeath. Make it memories. Make it prayer. Make it laughter. Perhaps this morning, as a grandparent, you would set the example by bringing that kind of a desire before the Lord in prayer at the altar and saying, "Lord, that's what I want. I want you to take these golden years and multiply them for your glory." Maybe the Lord's dealing with you in some other area of your life. And I wonder this morning, will you let the Lord have his way with you? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the greatest thing that you have need of is to know Christ. Because without Jesus as your Savior, you will die and enter into an eternity in hell. It doesn't matter how good of a grandparent you were, or a parent, or a mom, or a dad, or just how good of a person you were. There is only one way into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. It is through His shed blood that paid the price and the penalty of your sin. It is through the power of His resurrection that made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And if you cannot point to the time where you gave your life to Christ, how about making it September the 11th, 2022? Make it today. Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, this morning, we are so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to honor and celebrate our grandparents and the impact that they make upon our lives. We ask, Lord, that in this time of invitation, as you deal with hearts and lives, that we would see your hand working. We pray for decisions to be made for you. We pray that that lost individual would come to know Christ as Savior. We pray, Lord, for that believer that needs to make a decision for you today. Have your way in each and every one of our lives, we pray and ask in Jesus' name.